Hey everyone, it's Brian DeBrain here, Chris GST. We just got back from Ring of Honor, got some McDonald's, we're kind of chilling now, it's 12:30 at night, kind of settling down from a long, long day. We did a double shot, we did Evolve, and we did Ring of Honor, so quite the up and down, back and forth trips. I guess we got to start off with Evolve, since it was the first show. A little side note, shout out to Rich Swann. You know, they had to stop the match for a rib injury. From what we know, he's, you know, there's no update, but it seemed like it wasn't too, like, not so bad that they had to, like, call an ambulance or anything. There was no ambulance or anything like that. They just stopped the match. I believe he went to the hospital right afterward, but shout out to Rich Swann. A bit of a scary situation, but, you know, what can you do? But at least they stopped the match and nothing bad happened. So I guess we start off with Evolve 40, and we kick it off with Drew Galloway. Ended the show last night, starts the show off today. I guess he wanted to open up the show and kind of get his match out of the way and watch the rest of the show. But a fun match with UHA Nation. Some good back and forth athleticism. UHA Nation is just an amazing athlete. He did this backflip off the apron and just landed like it was nothing. It was pretty sweet. Drew Galloway's got that swagger, that world title swagger. It seems like he's going to be the double champion after today's show. I don't know what you think about that, Chris, but just based on his promos and the way he keeps pushing himself over, and, you know, it looks like we're going to get a double champion in Drew Galloway. This was a fun match. Kind of short. They didn't do too much, but they got enough in just to, you know, get the crowd into it. It was a fun opener. Any thoughts you want to put, or just, you know?
I think Drew, he's becoming kind of that workhorse champion, so it works out well for him. UHA Nation, I mean, obviously the rumors are abound. We all know where he's headed, so it was a good match. It was a good time to see him, and hopefully tomorrow, you know, he'll probably get a really respectful chant from the fans. But yeah, I enjoyed this match a lot. I think it helps Drew. Of course, Brian, he did the post-match promo. I mean, you know, it's very Davey Richards-esque. I mean, practically now, it's the Drew Galloway thing. So there you go. But, yeah, fun times.
Okay, so this next match, the second match of Evolve 40, is one of the highlights of the weekend in terms of better matches. Timothy Thatcher against Tommy End. And this was very, very good just because of the way that Tim Thatcher sold. Like, he came off as the babyface about halfway through the match. And then once you kind of got that dynamic, you were rooting for Timothy Thatcher. He was getting his ass handed to him, and essentially what he became was like a UFC style, UWFI style, you know what I mean? Just that hybrid style where it was dragged down, knockouts, you know, submissions, but a lot of like, you know, hard-hitting strikes that lead to 10 counts. And at one point, it looked like Timothy Thatcher literally got knocked the fuck out. Like, you know, just keeled over in the middle of the ring. Everyone immediately just thought, assumed like it was just like a knockout finisher right off the bat, and people were counting down. He did get up at 8, and it was a very dramatic near knockout. I mean, my God, he looked legitimately like out, and the way he came back in the match was very good. You know, this was one of the highlights of the weekend for sure, just the way it came off. And Tommy End kind of came off as the heel here, but he kind of had to because he was playing the aggressor, so... Just a great back-and-forth match, some great near-knockout finishes, and definitely one of the highlights of the show. And I've seen the praise on Twitter for it, and it certainly deserves it because, I mean, just a hell of a stiff match and just the way that they sold the kicks and the, you know, the forearms and all that stuff. And just a crazy, crazy stiff match. And I can't wait to see Tommy in a PWG next week, and I think he's going to bring it against Chris Hero. So we'll see how that goes. And I guess Timothy Thatcher, man, he... With the Evolve crowd, he is very, like, top three, super over. Didn't even realize how over he was. He wasn't even that over last night in comparison. But I guess that's another thing we got to mention, the attendance tonight, or this afternoon, I should say. Last night was about, what, 250, give or take? And then tonight was definitely about 350, close to 400.
They had to add chairs
halfway during the show. Like, I guess all the people that went to Access were finally getting in halfway through. They had more chairs around us, and because at first when we got there, it didn't seem so packed. Like, you know, there was a lot of empty seats, but I guess people were just getting there late. So, you know, I mean, that's great for WWN Live, considering that I think at this point the numbers in terms of attendance are better than what they had total last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's saying something. But, you know, one of the highlights of the weekend was this match between Tim Thatcher and Tommy Yan for sure. And I think Tim Thatcher is going to be, I mean, based on that match, it seems like going to get like a babyface push in the company pretty soon. So maybe even face off with Drew Galloway for the Evolve title down the line.
He should.
Definitely, for sure. Drew Gulak and TJ Perkins had a great match too. Gulak worked the leg, you know, Perkins worked the elbow. So, you know, that dynamic of working the arm versus working the leg came off really well. Again, another great, just the story in the match was really well done. I guess it's a note to note that all of Gulak's CZW students came by and kind of didn't even say a word, just followed him, crouched down at the ring apron and just watched the match, and that was it. So
it was like a weird Gracie train.
Yeah, it was like, you know, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu trainees or some New Japan dojo young boy kind of thing going on. It was really entertaining, but overall this match was actually really like quite good actually in terms of the storytelling, in terms of the body work. You know, good stuff here, and Drew Gulak, man, we'll see where he goes. Definitely comes off as a good heel that, like, kind of like that heel that just likes to work a body part, like a Minoru Suzuki, I guess you'd say, and comes off really well. And maybe there's, like, a storyline angle going on maybe with the CZW students. You never know. It would make an interesting thing, just saying, you know, a CZW student invasion or something like that and get the new guys over, but we'll see where it goes. I don't know. It was kind of random, but maybe it's something in the future. Next was AR Fox and Ethan Page. You know, AR Fox doing crazy, stupid things to his body, but we'll see.
The match was okay. It wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. Like in terms of entertaining, you know, comedy. Ethan Page has got like a really funny shtick, so it was really it was entertaining in that sense. You know, crazy spots, of course, by AR Fox. And then I guess they're going to do a losing streak with Ethan Page, is what it looks like, saying
he let Johnny down.
I'm sorry, Johnny, I let you down. Well, we'll see where it goes. You know, as we mentioned last night, it seems like they're doing the whole Larry Zbysko, Bruno Sammartino student mentor thing. So we'll see where that goes. And I don't think they're going to do the heel turn tomorrow. So it didn't seem like they were setting up for the heel turn quite yet. But the seeds are definitely planted. AR Fox gets the victory, and, you know, this was fun. There was no intermission. They just kind of went straight through. Next up was what I thought should have been the main event, because the way they built it last night seemed like a big grudge match. In hindsight, maybe it should have gone last. Chris Hero and Biff Busick. This was another really good match, just in terms of Chris Hero just being the veteran, trying to, you know, kind of bully Biff Busick around a little bit just to try to teach him a little lesson or two. But, you know, it was what you expect, just stiff elbow shots and just crazy suplexes. And Chris Hero even took a dragon suplex off the top rope, which is pretty insane. It's, you know, they were brawling in the outside at times and knocking over the railing. That was another thing, one of the running things in Evolve this weekend is the railing is just coming apart at the seams, at all sides. You know, really good match. For some people, this was the match of the night for Evolve, or I should say match of the afternoon. I thought it should have gone on last. It was really, really intense at points. And Chris Hero won with a tombstone, people. A tombstone.
After hitting another bunch of shots, but this time it didn't hurt.
Like, I felt like, you know, the night before, it kind of hurt to just have Hero win. But this night, it kind of, the story made sense.
Right.
So, and when you have that, and then afterwards, you have Busick just kind of, you know, he's ready for more, even though he lost. Because Hero still has that, I don't know, I guess, standing with the fans. You know, no matter what you want to say about certain things outside of his wrestling, he's so over.
Yeah.
And his wrestling is still good. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good match. I personally, though, I think Thatcher and End was the best match, but this is a close second.
Very close second.
Yeah, and it, you could switch it either way, depending on how you see it.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
So, yeah, and then we go to the semi-main event. Unfortunate kind of ending, though. Johnny Gargano and Rich Swann against Caleb Konley and Brian Cage. More of the same of the six-man tag last night, just in terms of the Rich Swann just being so goddamn entertaining and being the Chris Tucker of indie wrestling. and just basically did the whole all night long karaoke version again. Went the whole 4 minutes, sang the whole song. It was pretty awesome. You know, it started out really, really good. I mean, they were just, you know, having so much fun in the ring. And then halfway through, I don't know, if I were to guess...
Yeah, I couldn't tell when it happened.
Like there was a rib injury, but we don't know when.
They got a ton of offense in on him. Like,
so the way we saw it, we were watching the match, they got a ton of offense on him, and you just think it's like, okay, he's taking the heat, and then all of a sudden he tags out, and he's on the floor drinking water and laying down. And
breathing hard.
Yeah, and breathing really hard. And at first you're like... okay, this is could be, because he's also trying to get back on the ledge. So it's like, okay, is this just part of the show? And then one of the security guys came down and Gabe came down. So then it's like, okay, this is serious. And I think right at that moment, all of us were saying, yeah, they're going for the finish. And they did.
Yeah.
And which was messed up also, because we clearly saw Conley tap.
Yeah, he tapped.
And then all of a sudden, no, the ref stopped it because of an injury. And the other team won. And we're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So not a good night.
I'll just remember the look on Brian Cage's face because, like, initially, I mean, yes, Caleb Conley did tap out, and the match, like, ended on a tap out. And then Brian Cage is like, whoa, we won? Like, he gives this fucking look on his face like, oh, we won! You know, it was just the most stupid finish, but what can you do in a crazy situation like that, unfortunately? No updates that we've heard of, but like I said before, it's not like they had to, like, call the ambulance or anything like that. He probably did go just straight to the emergency room. And, you know, shout out to Rich Swann. He's probably not going to be wrestling tomorrow. That's for sure.
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, if I were to guess on what happened, I mean, from my guess, it was the spot where, you know, Brian Cage doesn't likes to do the spot where he catches guys off the top and straight into the suplex. And my guess is that maybe he just caught him and then just kind of tweaked the wrong angle and kind of, like, messed up his ribs or something.
I don't even remember what led him to it.
Yeah, so, I mean, because he jumped on him and he caught him, but then, you know, he had a struggle to get him straight up in the air. So maybe just, I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but that seemed to be a little awkward when that happened anyway. So, and then we had the main event. I don't know if it's a dream match, according to some people, but we had the Direwolf. Or the Direwolf. I said Direwolf, whatever, Game of Thrones.
The Direwolf.
Direwolf, PJ Black, Justin Gabriel. Certainly a lot better than last night in terms of, I think just because of the styles, I think, just meshed a lot better.
I don't care what anyone says, Ricochet won with the 720.
720, 720, 630 centon, whatever. It's a flippy flip.
Right? It's two full, I don't give a shit. 720. We're going with that.
We're going with the 720.
That
yeah. But yeah, I mean, it seemed like you didn't know what to expect from this match, but then once I think they kind of got the groove, they kind of realized, okay, we're all on the same athletic level, so I think we're going to... They ended up just clicking and gelling really well, and their styles really matched. I mean, obviously, they get the same similar style. In terms of, like, Justin Gabriel, you know, PJ Black, whatever you want to say, I think his strengths are obviously in, like, a junior heavyweight style. Compared to last night, a strong style, PJ Black is not the kind of match I think he should be wrestling. I think he's definitely got. He definitely proved himself tonight compared to last night. Like, he should be doing more of these style of matches, not the hard hitting style.
Like, okay, so Brian, talk about. I mean, so we have PJ Black. He had the one win in 38. He got an instant title shot and he lost that. And then tonight, he's in the main event again. I get it. It's wrestling. He is kind of a name. But look at the, I mean, and the precedent's already been set. We've talked about this a million times. It's another ex-WWE guy, an undercard guy, and he's main eventing the two shows, which is fine. I get it. It's wrestling. No matter what I say, there were people there. Like, I think the couple in front of us were there to see PJ Black, and there were a lot of people there to see him. So if he was the draw, then it was a good place for him to be. I personally don't think he should have been there. Like you said, I think Hero and Busick should have been it, but... You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is, but, you know, it's still a fun match. They gelled really well. Ricochet gets the win. And essentially, everything kind of builds to tomorrow for Evolve. I mean, the whole last two shows were just building up Johnny Gargano and Drew Galloway. That's obvious. So it'll probably draw really well. If when I think about it, like, they might fill up maybe 450, maybe 500 people in that building for tomorrow's Super Show. Yeah, and there's nothing really going against it, maybe access or something like that, but
yeah.
Essentially, I think it's going to be a really big draw tomorrow. In terms of predictions, I got to go Drew Galloway winning tomorrow. Seems like the most logical thing. You push Johnny Gargano the last 3-4 years as the guy of the company. Drew Galloway seems to be the face of the company now, so it seems logical that you retire the old belt, unify the belts, and just go with Drew Galloway. And, I think it seems to be the big match of Evolve tomorrow. I can't even think of all the other matches that are really big tomorrow. I think Tim Thatcher and Chris Hero's tomorrow, correct?
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, we'll look it up in a second, people. But, I think Tim Thatcher's going to have an interesting weekend. He's already having an interesting weekend. We don't want to speculate on the King of Indies or whatever, but it seems like he might actually win that too. So a big breakout weekend for Tim Thatcher. Super, super over this weekend in Evolve. So I think Tim Thatcher's the star to watch, or the up-and-comer star to watch in Evolve this weekend based on the show. So that was the afternoon, basically. Good show overall. Definitely better than last night. Yeah. I don't know if it was a million times better than last night, but maybe about 478,000 times better than last night. So,
that's fair.
Is that fair, Jerome? Okay. So second half, we went to Ring of Honor. It was a cool venue. It's kind of one of those indoor sports venues where it's basically broken up into different sections. And then basically like if you wanted to go and watch an indoor soccer match basically in front of 500 people in one section, basically I'd say there is about 1,000 people, maybe more.
They sold out at 1,000, so there's probably at least
1,200 people. It wasn't too bad, like in terms of like being cramped, and it wasn't too cramped. There was still kind of some space. The only problem was that it's single level, like floor level, so basically we were 10th row back, 15th row back, I can't even remember, but we were basically at the edge, and it was really hard to see some of the high spots. But essentially, whatever was going on in the ring, we can kind of basically see most of it. So, but by the main event, we figured, fuck it, we're just going to move so we can see everything in the main event. So we ended up moving and standing for the main event. But overall, I think the Ring of Honor show was, I don't know, on par maybe with the Evolve show, same level.
I'd say same level. I couldn't really say which one's better.
Yeah, just about the same. I definitely got to say the ROH show was definitely, at least the staff was rushed. It felt rushed because they did the first four matches in about an hour and 15 minutes. And I totally understand that because everyone wants to go to NXT right now. And about, I would say, maybe 15%, 20% of the crowd left to go to NXT. And I think a majority left about, intermission? Or no, maybe.
Majority didn't leave at intermission.
They left at probably the after the Liger. Actually, yeah, now think about it, after Liger, pretty much. A lot of people left for the NXT.
Still a lot of people there.
Yeah, and then some people were actually leaving during the main event too, so I guess once they figured that Joe was not winning, they kind of just left, basically. But we should start from the beginning because it's still fresh in our heads and everything, but it opened up with Mark Briscoe and ACH. That was pretty fun. I did miss some spots just because, it was hard to see from that far back, but whatever. I should have moved from the start, but it doesn't matter now. But it was fun because, Mark's crazy redneck kung fu and ACH's charisma and the way ACH loves to carry a crowd. I mean, right off the bat, ACH had the crowd, in his pocket right from the start. And, good fun times. They pulled off some fun spots. Good opener. And Mark Briscoe wins with a reverse sunset flip attempt. And kind of surprising, right? I thought ACH should be getting more. I mean, he just faced AJ Styles on pay-per-view. And that was losing to Mark Briscoe in the opener. So, I don't know. How do you feel about that? Because, kind of a waste of ACH, right?
Yeah, well, that was the deal is you have ACH, he should be being built up. No matter what you think of the rumors going on with the Briscoes, it's ACH is your future. Mark Briscoe, he's just kind of there. And I felt the same thing happened with the six-man mayhem match where you had guys like Caprice Coleman, Cedric Alexander, obviously Ciampa and Andrew Everett, and then Moose as well. And the guy that wins is Matt Sydal, which I guess you could say, okay, maybe they're building him towards a world title shot or a TV title shot, but really? When you have guys like Cedric Alexander, I said it while I was talking to some people there in the crowd, and it just kind of feels like Ring of Honor doesn't quite know what they're doing with him yet. I thought they were building more, and they did. They did the whole thing where he felt bad for losing, and ACH kind of did the same thing. Did you notice that he was kind of mad at the loss, which is good?
Which you should be.
Yes, so it's good in that, but and then the next match was good. Elgin versus Kazarian.
Well, actually, so. It was switched, but.
Oh, the six-man mayhem. Yeah, yeah, and then. But the six-man mayhem match was great.
Yeah,
it was a really good six-way. Yeah, I mean, you liked it?
Yeah.
Well, let me talk about Kazarian and Elgin first. I don't know. Are they going to put them out of order in DVD? Because the way it looked, because, I mean, afterwards, basically Elgin did a beatdown to Daniels, chair shot, and Elgin bomb, right? So, but then Daniels came out of the other second half of the show like he didn't get beat down or anything. So it was kind of weird. Like, why didn't they just put Roderick Strong and Daniels before and then do the beatdown job? But because it makes it seem like, wait, Elgin is such a badass that he beats down Christopher Daniels, and then Christopher Daniels just comes out 2 hours later like it was nothing. But hopefully they'll put it out of order, just mention it. But it just seemed kind of weird that they would do that. Kazarian didn't really have a chance, right? Yeah. I mean, no one really – I mean, I don't think he was going to beat him. It just seemed pretty obvious, like, you know, Kazarian was going to try to match power with Elgin, or, you know, at least try to out-technique him. But obviously that was not going to happen. And it was kind of obvious that there's only one way this match is ending, and that's an Elgin bomb. And I mean, it did its job. You're building up Elgin as a challenger, top heel. I mean, he beat up Daniels afterward. So
the match was good, though.
I mean, it was good. Yeah, it's just I just had felt at no point that Kazarian had any chance at all of winning that match. But they could have done a little more to, you know, suspend my disbelief on that. But whatever. The six-man mayhem, though, it was literally anyone could have won that thing. But then when you think about it, like, man, maybe they should have just gave it to, I don't know, maybe Moose, because that seemed to be like the guy that they're building up. Yeah, and
or Cedric Alexander, give him a good win on a show that a lot of people will buy because it's Samoa Joe.
Yeah, and then Moose is fucking over.
Yeah.
Weird. Like, people are doing the thing where it's like Moose, and you just fucking pull your arm now, Moose, Moose, and it's just like, damn, you watch the TV. Good for you.
it was
pretty fun. And then what was after that? Oh, yes, no DQ.
Yes.
This match. Okay. Where do we begin?
It's emotional.
It is emotional. I hate to be negative about this match, but I don't think it came off so good. I don't know. Watching it from 10 rows back, you could barely see, like, what they were trying to do in terms of, like...
There was the botch table spot.
There was a botch table spot. I didn't even see the actual table spot the second time.
I didn't see it either, because everyone...
I just heard the table break, so I'm just going to assume that BJ Whitmer was on the table as it broke. Another weird spot, before the botched table spot, you know, you had to create a spot essentially to put BJ Whitmer on the table. And I think he just laid himself on the table, which was like, kind of awkward. Like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
I know it's obviously a callback to the Super Card of Honor 2 cage match. Was that 2? 2 or 3? I can't remember. From like 6 or 7 years, 8 years ago, maybe. So it's not the first time that these two have faced on a Super Card of Honor, but
I mean, and I think they did all their homages. Like, they did all the homages to their previous matches. That, you know, they kind of teased. Yeah.
They teased the powerbomb thing, even though it was more like a sunset flip powerbomb. But still, it's like you knew it was there. People seeing Klein to the roof, like, oh, okay, we remember that. And then when Jimmy Jacobs even brought the table out, we all remember them going through the table. So it's like, okay, there's that. It wasn't quite. I don't know. I didn't see the Railroad Spikes. I don't think that even happened. But
wait, there was a spike?
Because Jimmy Jacobs always used a spike in the past. So that's what I'm saying. So it would have been nice to see.
I couldn't see from.
Right. You were far back, and I was kind of behind some tall people because I was standing only. So, but I'm not negative on the match. I think it was the match that they wanted, especially with the chair, you know, the use of the chairs and the way the match ended. You know, a good for all. And then after the match, Lacey showing up to save from the beatdown.
Like, yeah. That's what everyone wanted. Like,
yeah.
I mean, for all you ROH historians out there, 2006, the whole storyline of Jimmy Jacobs in love with Lacey and Austin Aries and Colt Cabana and all this thing. And basically what remains from that angle is the Ballad of Lacey, that song that kept...
Closure.
We got closure because she came out and embraced them, and they embraced. It was like an indie version of the ending of Macho Man and Ultimate Warrior, you know, with Elizabeth. And, you know, they played the song, and except we didn't have Gorilla Monsoon crying on or telling people like look at the people crying in the crowd. There was no one crying in the crowd, but maybe some people. Some people.
This was emotional.
But I just dug it that, like, they just went, like, a full callback to everything, you know, like, all, it just, because that was the big, I don't know, that and Age of the Fall, I guess, are what Jimmy's known for, I think,
yeah.
in ROH. The B.J. Wimmer feud, with, and then the Lacey thing that tied with it,
yeah.
and then Age of the Fall, which also is tied with Lacey in a way. So it all comes full circle, and it was kind of like a cool moment, man, you know. And it was really cool, like, we put that on Twitter that Lacey was there, and they played the Battle of Lacey, and that seemed to get the most response out of all the tweets we put out this whole day, so it's really cool. And I guess that's, you know, a testament to ROH's history, and in a way that ties both promotions together in a way. Lacey was on the Evolve shows. Yeah, kind of weird. She played, like, a Miss Interviewer like Renee Young, which kind of was like, as you were saying, Chris, a giveaway that she was going to come in for the ending of the match or play into the ending of the match somehow. But overall, the match was whatever. And some people may like it, some people may not. At least they did the callbacks, but I think the money shot was in the end because, I mean, that's what everyone wanted. So.
Yeah. And a really nice goodbye to Jimmy Jacobs.
Yeah, yeah. So it was really sweet. I mean, good luck, Jimmy Jacobs. I mean, use that brain and put it to good use and shock some people, you know, do something good with your mind, you know. You're probably not listening to this, but you never know. You know, good luck to Jimmy Jacobs on that one. So we went to intermission. We get back, it's Roderick Strong and Christopher Daniels. Again, I mentioned before, it was kind of weird because Daniels got beat down, so I was like, are they going to find a replacement or something? Or I guess they're just going to put it out of order.
Long enough in between, though.
Yeah, and then the other thing is that, like, in the beginning of the second half, we had to do another 10-second countdown because I guess they recorded the DVD intro
yeah.
at the second half. So that's what, that's initially what made me think, oh, maybe they're just going to put the matches out of order to make it look... I don't know. But it's just kind of weird, you know, to beat down on Christopher Daniels and it just comes out like it's nothing. But
wrestlers do that all the time. It's just a trope.
I guess.
It's annoying, but...
Yeah. Oh, well. But it was a good match for what it was. I love the pacing in this match because... For some reason, Roderick Strong matches, I find, like, he builds the right kind of pace at times.
Both guys can still go.
Yeah, yeah.
Daniels is just amazing.
Yeah, and just some really crazy backbreakers, of course, and then, you know, just played into the finish where, you know, Stronghold. You know, it's what you'd expect from these two. Good back and forth, but of course, you got to build up Roddy as a top singles guy because, I mean, obviously Christopher Daniels, as great as he is, he's not, you know, a top main eventer in Ring of Honor now. But he's got he's in that tag team role, and that's what he's great at, so it wouldn't make sense for him to beat Roddy. So, and then we went to the first title match because after this point it was all three title matches. The World Tag Team titles, Tom Lawler, you know.
Filthy Tom.
Filthy Tom comes out. Being the great manager. Well, not great manager. This is his second managing role, so... He's still
a winning team.
So it is a winning team. Yeah, still tag team champions.
Great.
We had Sleazy Kyle in this match. We had Sleazy Bobby Fish.
Really, how did no one do the Sleazy Dragon chant? They just did Sleazy Kyle, but there was Bobby Fish on the top rope doing it. So it's really the Sleazy Dragons.
Sleazy Dragons. We got to get that hashtag.
Yeah.
I thought this was the match of the Ring of Honor show, to be honest. And that's not surprising because Red Dragon is. I mean, I even put this on Twitter. They were probably. Probably more over than Joe, I think.
I wouldn't go that far.
Really? I don't know. They got a huge pop. Like, a
Joe
huge
also got
pop.
A deafening pop.
I don't
know. Got a pop.
But I was just surprised that, like, Red Dragon gets these pops that the way they are. Like,
yeah, no, they're over, but I wouldn't say they're more over than Joe. I wouldn't say
okay. That. But they got a huge pop, and I was surprised. I guess no one really likes the Kingdom, I guess. But that's
which is good.
They're which is good. Heels. They're heels. Yeah, so.
Get booed.
Yeah,
so,
that's the point. So.
It's not go away.
Yeah, at least not for Mike Bennett in 2012.
Taven is doing his job. I don't care what anyone says now. Taven does his role well.
Yeah.
So like his interactions with the fans, awesome. When he's telling people to shut up or, you know, I mean, it gets repetitive after a while, but that's what heels do. That's what you hate about them.
Right. So this came off really well. They did a thing where Maria tried to interfere and Tom Lawler just carried her to the back and you never saw either one of them again. Okay, so the mask thing. I really am not following ROH as much as you are, Chris. So the whole mask thing, people thought that...
It's Adam Cole.
Okay, but people thought that it was also Mike, because there was also two masked men at the pay-per-view, correct?
Yes, and they thought it was Bennett and Taven.
But Bennett and Taven obviously were in the match, so so it's
and
not
it was
them.
Only one,
so it's just one, yeah.
It doesn't really disprove anything.
I guess.
Because if it's them in the tree, okay.
Think of it this way. There's three of them, right?
Right.
And if Bennett and Taven are in the match and only one guy comes out, who is it? So it's Cole. And while the other time,
it's a red herring to
I think it is a red herring. I think it's an obvious red herring. So I can't say. I'm not going to speculate. It's too. It's one. It's really dumb. I'm not into it.
I don't even know like where this is going in terms of.
I don't. I'm not. I think it's just. It's going to be three guys. Hopefully, it's three new faces. If it turns out it's Cole, no offense, it's kind of boring.
Gotcha, gotcha. But that was definitely the match of the night, just because I mean, Red Dragon just carries these tag team title matches like. I mean, they are the epitome of the tag team. Well, I mean, them and the Bucks. But even without the Bucks here this weekend in San Jose, like, still, like, Red Dragon, man.
You're already here. They're in Japan.
Yeah. But Red Dragon, I feel like their tag title matches are just, I don't know, man, just the highlights of Ring of Honor shows, right, it seems.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, quality-wise. And then, of course, the next match, the man, the legend, Jushin Thunder Liger.
Dude is still jacked.
Yeah,
good Lord.
He is still thick, but man, just that was my first time seeing him live, and epic. I mean, not an epic match, but just that feeling
really
of seeing a legend.
Match.
Really good match. I mean, if you notice, Liger's a genius in terms of like what he needs to do in the ring and knowing what he can't do anymore and what he does do. He didn't even do the senton? I think he did one senton, but that's kind of like his only big spot that he does nowadays. Then like maybe a splash off the top, but I love, you know, the whole match they were basically teasing the palm strike, and then he finally hit it, but Lethal was able to kick out, which kind of thought was like, oh man, you built up for that, and it didn't really pop quite as much, but
Lethal did really well too, though.
Yeah, yeah, and then basically no Truth Martini. We should mention that. So there was no, there were still shenanigans. Basically, essentially, it was just the. Jay Lethal trying to use the belt as a weapon and then using the referee as a distraction and blah, blah, blah. And then basically just, you know, using it as a distraction to get the lethal injection on Jushin Liger. So technically it was a clean win, I guess. But, you know, Liger, everyone loved Liger. And, you know, it was just amazing to see him live. And, I mean, what can you say? I mean, and you really don't expect Jushin Liger to come in and take the world television title. I mean, if anything, I think it would have been better if he was not in a title match, because then you have that, okay, maybe he could actually win this match instead of being like, okay, he's just in to give Jay Lethal the rub, you know. But it is what it is. It was still a, you know, a fun match. And around this point, I saw some more people leaving for NXT. I don't know about you, but it started a fan debt. I mean, like I said, 15%, maybe we're gone 20%, so not
less
too bad.
Than 20.
Yeah. And then
it still seemed really full. Like just looking out into the crowd, it still seemed really
full. And then we had the main event.
Good match.
It was good. It wasn't, it kind of, like when I was thinking about it, like it, the way I see it, it's just like Samoa Joe is not the same Joe that he was 10 years ago. And he's just not championship level anymore, maybe? I don't know. It just seems like
I can't read it like that, because that's.
I don't know. He just seems like. I don't know. It's just something was missing. It was very good, but I felt like.
What was missing was that you didn't think there was a chance Joe would win. You never thought that.
I guess
and
that's
why
it.
Why would we?
Yeah, from what we've heard. I mean, from what we heard, is he's going to leave. The rumor I heard is that even sooner than the end of April, right? Which was the original. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
April 25th was supposed to be.
Supposed to, but, you know, clean finish. I guess, you know, Jay Briscoe is. I mean,
still undefeated.
This is the first time you beat Joe, actually, right? Ever.
I think. It's too late for me to
fact check thread, people. But I mean, to what I recall, like Joe was just always beating Jay, and that was like the thing back in 2003, I think. But it was really cool to see just like a clean finish. But I felt like the finish just kind of came, and it didn't really like build up to it too much. It's just kind of like Jay Driller. You know, because you didn't even have, like, a tease of, like, the Coquina Clutch, right? Like, I don't even remember that.
They tried it, but it didn't really.
Like, yeah, like a near tap-out kind of finish.
I think, like, the second you saw. So, obviously, these are kind of spoilers, but whatever. There was a moment in the match where Joe had Jay up on the top, turnbuckle, and you think he's going to go for the buster.
The muscle buster, yeah.
Yeah, and he doesn't. Jay gets out of it. And at that moment, I think most of the crowd knew, yeah, Joe's not winning. Because there's nothing left after that.
Right.
And he kind of does the coquina clutch, doesn't really sink it in. And it was really soon after that, Jay hits the J-driller.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part that was missing, was the suspense. Do I think that means that us knowing, quote-unquote knowing, that Joe's going to WWE kind of ruined the match? I'd say the argument's there, but there's still a way for wrestlers to build suspense. Yeah. Whether they didn't, I'm not going to say, because I still thought it was a good match.
Right.
So I think overall people will enjoy it, and the finishes were obvious. But again, it's not always bad when finishes are obvious if they make logical sense. It's the wrestling in between that you want to see, and the wrestling was good. So that's why I would say that it was on par with the Evolve show today. If someone said they enjoyed Evolve more, I could listen to that. Because like you said, the first half felt really rushed. So
yeah, for the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, for Ring of Honor. So I could see that. But overall, really good wrestling today, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, good doubleheader. We still got more to come. I mean, I think we're pretty much set. I'm 50-50 on the WWE Super Show tomorrow. I think I'm maybe even 60-40, depending on this guy here, my roommate. shout out to Mike. He's just walking by. Say hi.
What's up, guys? What's up?
Yeah. So, and then we got WrestleCon. So
I'm going to both.
We're going. Yeah, Chris is definitely going to both. We're going to try to see the Golden Gate Bridge tomorrow. And, yeah, basically, that's been the day. And, yeah, so thanks for listening. Keep checking out the shows. You know, tweet at us. We'll tweet back at you if you got some interesting arguments or whatever. If you want to viciously attack our arguments, that's fine too. That's the nature of the game. So peace out. We'll put Twitter plugs at the end because the weekend is still – it's not even over yet, people. So more to come later. Peace.